And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, you know, I'm saying, making it cool to be a conservative. And so, by the way, texts are flowing in, Boomer. I hope you're seeing those and get a chance to answer a few of them.
But, absolutely. I'm very, very honored for all these texts. Thank you very much.
Almost as many as the camel.
Almost.
Hey, I got somebody on the line that held on for the break, so let me just grab that real quick. Is that Brian? Brian from Huntsville. How you doing, buddy?
Doing okay. A little bit sad to hear it, but happy to hear it. And I hope you find a good replacement for Corporal Radar there.
Absolutely.
And to Boomer, McQueen, your family, and everything, Godspeed to you. And in the spirit of the old band, the Outlaws, Camel Laughs, and Maple Bacon Donuts Forever, sir.
Thank you so much, Brian.
Brian, appreciate
y'all,
man.
Take care.
You too. Happy Thanksgiving. All right. All right. Hey, listen, I gotta pause before I go any further, before I forget, and tell you about the Elm Foundation. So these folks are really cool at what they do. If you're not familiar, the Elm Foundation, ELM, Elm Foundation, they're based out of Huntsville. They're a 501c3 that does really cool stuff at helping people sort of find their way back into a productive life, literally getting people off the streets, helping them to find the ability to gain, you know, regain dignity through and self-worth through work and through productivity and sort of re-engaging life like they hadn't seen it in quite a while. And they don't do it like the government does, where you throw money at it and hope it sticks. I mean, with conservative principles, believe it or not, conservative principles, the Elm Foundation is walking people through what it takes to re-engage life. And they're doing it in such epic fashion. I had them here in the studio. We did a big interview with them not long ago, and it was just so cool. But the Elm Foundation, they are actually providing accountability, too. They're not just saying, go you there for. They're actually walking with people through the whole process. And so I just encourage you, as you're looking at year-end giving, some of y'all, I know you're considering where to give. You might want to consider the Elm Foundation. You can go online, find them on their website, ElmHSV, because they're in Huntsville, ElmHSV.org. That's Elm Foundation, ElmHSV.org. Check them out. If you talk to them, do me the honor of telling them you heard about it here on Right Side. All right, y'all, we got, you know the deal. Sometimes I am looking around, and I am doing the resourcing for the show, and I am going, whoo, Lord, how much wokeness? Oh, look at that. There's an extra layer of wokeness. How much wokeness can we possibly have? Next thing you know, I've got a vast cornucopia, a plethora, a buffet, if you will, of wokeness. That means it's time for another round of Adventures in Woke World.
Adventures in Woke World.
Boomer, you're going to get to use all of the sound effects today.
I think all of them.
Well, prepare yourself because this might be...
Oh, okay.
This might be one of the sound effects. So, Adventures in Woke World, things that happen you look at and go, wow, the fact that somebody even had to do that, say that, or even did that is like, poof, what's going on? How about this one? From a website called The Daily Fetched. DailyFetched.com reports, Department of Homeland Security's Chief Mayorkas orders his agents not to misgender the illegal border crossers. This is a big deal. Go ahead. It's jackassery.
I have to start of it. Well, I mean, that right there, just the title.
The very first article is jackassery. So Joe Biden's border chief, story, by the way, came out yesterday. Joe Biden's border chief, Alejandro Mayorkas, is now ordering his agents not to use the incorrect pronouns of illegal migrants crossing the border. And then it follows up by saying, yes, really. The oversight project at the Heritage Foundation is the source of the news that Daily Fetch is reporting on. Heritage Foundation says, we just obtained Customs and Border Patrol documents directing personnel to only use woke language when encountering individuals invading the United States. Here's the deal. It actually says they're not just like if someone says, I want you to call me a they. It's no. You're supposed to inquire.
You have to inquire about it?
The instructions given to Customs and Border personnel say, quote, if a longer dialogue with a migrant is occurring, it may be appropriate to ask the individual their preferred pronoun. For example, state, I would like to be respectful. What name and pronoun would you like me to use when addressing you? as you enter the country illegally.
Let me take the time to stop and just say, I'm sorry, before I detain you or let you through. I just need to know your pronouns.
Hey, you're breaking the law, but how can I make you feel comfortable? How about this? It also says, avoid asking, what is your sex, unless operationally necessary. Operationally necessary. I'm pretty sure that when you're having to look at where to detain someone, what holding cell to put them in is called operationally necessary. You know. And then, by the way, it says, do not use he, him, she, her pronouns until you have more information provided by the individual. Listen, that might deserve a second round of jackassery. That is unbelievable that our taxpayer dollars are being... If this is not a clear indication that the southern border is considered a joke to Democrats, I don't know what else is. It's a melting pot of wokeness that we're looking at right now. The whole of government approach that Joe Biden says he has for all of his policies is a melting pot of wokeness. It's a veritable stew, a stew of wokeness. Just wow. All right. Next one, though, this one actually makes me smile. So, I'm not sure how they're going to do this. This is not jackassery, by the way. I don't know how they're going to do this or how they're going to accomplish this. But a story on Red State came out 2 days ago. Here's the headline. You ready? Michigan Township declares itself a Second Amendment sanctuary and promptly forms its own militia.
Really?
Come on! Let the games begin.
Yes.
So as the Biden border crisis continues unchecked, Chicago and New York City recently made news with their efforts to push back against the shipping of illegal aliens to their respective sanctuary cities. But one town in Michigan has now said, you know what? We ain't playing no more. This is Michigan. This is the home of Governor Gretchen Whitmer. By the way, I've got family in Michigan. I've been up there. I went to Lowe's, and I looked around, and I said, there's as many rednecks here as there are back home. I mean, so just like California, there are good, solid, conservative, red meat, you know, people in every state. So the Holton Township Board of Trustees in Michigan's Muskegon County last Tuesday adopted a resolution declaring their township a Second Amendment sanctuary. They also adopted an addendum that established a township militia. No kidding. The resolution reads this, quote, whereas the Holton Township Board declares and confirms its express intent to stand as a sanctuary township for Second Amendment rights and to oppose within the limits of the Constitution of the United States and the Commonwealth of Michigan any efforts to unconstitutionally restrict such rights. They went on to say they would not be enforcing red flag laws, regardless of what their state legislature said. They also said that red flag orders and emergency risk protection orders would not be followed. And then they went on and began to form their militia. The Militia Public Security Act of the town of Holton Township includes a militia comprised of everyday citizens. Legal residents of the township are eligible to join the militia. They may make their intentions known by acknowledging their intent on social media or stating their intent by letter to the township. They have to be over the age of 18. They have to have their own firearm. They have to be willing to adhere to federal, executive, county, and state regulations. They give some requirements regarding handguns and long guns, and I'm thinking, are they going to drill on the commons? I mean, any caliber ammunition, by the way, determined legal is okay. And they also they don't disparage any group of Americans, but merely to illustrate, this article says, the stereotype derisively portrayed by the left. But clearly, the people of Holton Township are not a bunch of gun-waving rednecks running around in beat-up pickup trucks. They're saying, if we want to do this right, we're going to do it ourselves. And they are willing to say, ain't playing. All politics is local. We're a Second Amendment sanctuary. And oh, by the way, y'all want to be in the militia? Bring your own gun. We form up on the commons.
That's awesome.
I'm just saying. I mean, I looked at that and I thought, yeah, that's adventures in woke world.
Yes.
But it's like a counter to the wokeness.
It's a counter to it.
It's like, wait, we're tired of you. And by the way, I can't help but wonder, so one of the most liberal governors in the entire nation, Gretchen Whitmer, who people talk about as being a potential Democrat for president, I mean, that's her people. I wonder what she's thinking right now. Holton Township.
I wonder.
I'm just wondering if Holton Township is about to see their books get audited. You know what I'm saying? I wonder if Holton Township is going to wind up having no more paved roads here for too long.
Hey, they'll have do not enter.
Yeah. If state-run utilities are going to wind up turning something off, I don't know. All I know is this. Holton Township in Michigan may have spawned something new because they just declared themselves a Second Amendment sanctuary. And by God, they formed their own militia. Bunch of ruffians. We got to send them T-shirts. I'm just saying. It's a uniform. Bring your own gun. Wear your ruffian T-shirt. We form up on the commons. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We got more Adventures in Woke World. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, Alabama. And I mean, y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, listen, I got to tell you who else has got like some major ground. That's our friends at Southern Immediate Care. Southern Immediate Care is a chain of clinics that covers a huge swath of our listening area, which is a huge listening area. So Southern Immediate Care is got locations in places like Gadsden, Anniston, Atala, five locations in and around the Birmingham area. Like I think the two newest ones were Chelsea and Hoover, if I recall. And listen, folks, Southern Immediate Care facilities are open 7 days a week. 7 days a week. You wake up with a fever on a Saturday morning. Do you wait till Monday? No. Southern Immediate Care. You find the location nearest to you and head on down. They'll take care of you. All ages, by the way. Pediatric to geriatric, does not matter. They'll see all ages. Walk-ins are welcome. You can get your shots and your x-rays right there on the site. No need to go somewhere else. All I'm saying is this. By the way, this is who I use. All I'm saying is, a moment ago, I started to say, all I'm saying is this. Southern Immediate Care, quality facilities that I use personally, and by the way, I've used them longer than they've been advertising. In fact, they're advertising because I was impressed with them myself. So check them out, Southern Immediate Care. Find the location nearest to you, and when you go down there, tell them you heard about it on that radio show, Right Side Radio. I would appreciate that. All right, I'm going to continue on with Adventures in Woke World. And y'all, some of this stuff you look at and go, what is wrong with you people? Like, did you just think, oh, that's a good idea. Why don't we just do it that way and no one will question? How about this one? Townhall.com has an article. Dateline yesterday. Townhall.com. A high school in Massachusetts canceled its USA Day from Spirit Week activities in order to avoid politics. Come on. Really? Yes. Said reportedly the principal of Wellesley High School, Jamie Chisholm, sent out a letter to the school community explaining that the patriotic theme day was then canceled because the topic had become too politicized. It's the United States of America. You know what? You don't have to say MAGA hats, and you don't have to say I vote for Biden, and you don't have to say politics this, politics that. You can just celebrate our country. That's actually okay, unless you go to Wellesley High School in Massachusetts. Here's the quote from what they sent out. Quote, the high school administration decided not to go forward with the spirit theme because it really felt different than the other themes that kids came up with for the week. We felt the topic had been politicized beyond our school. We wanted to avoid politics. We had Mismatch Monday and Tropical Tuesday and Western Wednesday and Team Anyway. Monday was Monochrome Monday and Tuesday is Pajama Day. But Spirit Week is intended to be a light and fun way for our students to get excited about the pep rally and the Thanksgiving Day football game. Yeah. Parents did not react favorably, by the way. You can imagine. They did not. It wasn't even a topic. Parents are saying they didn't ask us. And by the way, keep in mind that townhall.com reported earlier that there was a school in Redmond, Washington that had decided to replace Veterans Day with something it called Peace Assemblies to recognize International Day of Tolerance. That is, Boomer, that may be I think we're going to count it. Go ahead and play it. It is. Yep, that would be jackassery. It's wokeness, but it's jackassery. Have I got a caller on the line? Let me grab that real quick. Is that Jeff? Jeff Rowe from Indiana. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, but kind of sad.
Oh, yeah. Well, I can imagine.
Losing our buddy.
Well,
and like Boomer is to me like Rush Limbaugh. He's the top of his game, and anybody that replaces him, you know, they're just not going to be able to fill those shoes quite as much as he did.
I would agree. We're gonna have to hope somebody comes in and puts their own flavor on it, but don't be too hard on them when they do, because we gotta find somebody. You can't hold them up to Boomer's candle all the time.
Oh, I know it. I wrote him a little note there. Like I said, he's been kind of like a son to me and everything, and like kids grow up and have to leave the nest, but you always stay in touch.
Well, you know what's funny is, and I appreciate you saying that, by the way. Y'all have no idea, and Jeff, you're one of them. Y'all have no idea how many times people call in here and just talk to Boomer and then hang up, and I never even talk to them. Happens all the time. And so, you know it's true, Boom.
It's fun.
There are times when I'm looking over there, and I'm like waving a hand trying to get his attention because he's talking to somebody. But anyway, thanks, Jeff, man. I appreciate you. Where are you at right now? You driving?
Oh, yeah. In fact, I'm right in front of Bucky's.
There you go. Why is it always Bucky's?
I don't know. And I can't even stop in there because there's no trucks allowed, buddy. You see no signs.
Listen, man, you say that, but the other day when I was there, there weren't a couple 18-wheelers on the back road. They just pulled over and did what they wanted to do, I guess.
Yeah, that's a no-no. I don't want those poor people going around these poor old nasty truck drivers out here all stinked up and everything.
You rapscallions. Well.
Exactly.
All right, man. Well, be careful on the road, and we appreciate you, as always.
Thank you, Phil. And you and Boomer have a very happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you, buddy. We'll see you. What time we got here? I got time for some more. Let me do this. Oregon is where some of your family's from. Why do I always have to predicate it by saying that?
That's where some of Boomer's family's from.
it's almost like I'm apologizing. Like I'm saying, hey, man, sorry to bring this up.
Well, they're starting to move out.
But home state sucks. No, it's actually it's a beautiful state.
Beautiful.
And in fact, when I was overseas, my second tour, I was attached to an Oregon infantry battalion, and they were some of the finest people I ever served with. And they made it very clear, yeah, we're all from the eastern side of the state.
It's just that, you know, right there, that little, yeah. That city.
East side of the Cascades is as conservative as Alabama. That's the Cascade Mountains, right? Isn't it? Yeah, I think it is. Yep. So here, you might want to know this. I mentioned it briefly on the show the other day, but it was so woke that I had to bring it back because this article advances the cause a little bit. So story 2 days ago from Daily Caller. Headline. It's been pretty awful. That's what it says on the headline.
Oh,
it's
no.
Been pretty awful. The first state to decriminalize hard drugs is now looking to reverse their liberal experiment. Like,
wow.
Didn't see this coming. Wow. Who knew that when we passed the law to make it, you know, not a crime to possess and to use and we're talking like heroin. We're talking, you know, cocaine. We're talking, you know, fentanyl. No, they just went ahead and said, all in, all income free, everybody come to Oregon. But allegedly it was because they passed it in 2021. So this is not like it's been a year and a half, 2 years?
Yeah.
They passed this thing with the sole intent of making it easier for addicts to access treatment. How does that work? When there's no penalties, they're just sitting on the curb shooting up in front of people's stores. This one guy says, this guy who has a business in downtown Eugene, which is a beautiful city, by the way. Says, in the past, we were dealing with older drunks occasionally, but since Measure 110 passed, the people are younger and more belligerent. They've been defecating and urinating in the streets. For the last 3 weeks, he said, police have had to sweep the homeless people away so I can get my staff to come into work. That's what life's been like.
Wow.
And they literally said, Oregon is now on pace to shatter the record for overdose calls, shatter the record for overdose deaths, and police officers and firefighters are administering Narcan, which is, you know, the narcotic inhibitor, at an alarming rate. And so they're saying that less than a year and a half later, people are having super buyer's remorse and talking about putting it on the ballot this coming year to do away with the law that that decriminalized. They want to recriminalize hard drugs. Have we ever seen this? Recriminalizing.
We're going
to
recriminalize.
Yeah, that didn't work very well. We want to go back to the way it was because this has been pretty awful. That's the headline. It's been pretty awful. All right. All of you green suiters out there, all of you folks that work in the defense industry, all you veterans and family members of veterans, and it continues to be a thing. Here I have Woke World, and I have the Department of Defense in one story.
Oh, no.
Headline from Daily Wire. That's two in the row from Daily Wire. Headline from Daily Wire, Biden's Pentagon slated to spend nearly $270 million on its diversity agenda. Yep. Department of Defense could drop nearly $270 million in taxpayer funds to further the diversity, equity, and inclusion. Oh, they've added the letter to it. Diversity, equity, inclusion, and accessibility. The acronym grows. Why do liberals love to grow an acronym? LGBTQ2IA++ acronym.
They just keep going.
Diversity, equity, and inclusion and accessibility agenda. So the DOD has scaled up its spending on DEIA in the past 3 years, jumping from $68 million it spent on it in 2022, this is Biden years, to $86.5 million in fiscal year 2023. And now the figure is surging to another $28.2 million, up to $114.7 million in the request they've made for the year 2024. It says, if the DOD's initial request for DEIA funding is included in the final legislation, the department will have spent $269.2 million on diversity initiatives across the entire spectrum of DOD. Things like, pray tell, what does this mean, Boomer? How about stuff like $68 million dedicated to DEIA programs in fiscal year 2022 was earmarked for the Department of the Air Force with the intention of increasing, quote, training programs and diversity and inclusion initiatives with a portion going to, quote, unconscious bias diversity training. That's the kind that says you're a racist, you just didn't know it. As well as, quote, increasing aviation scholarships for underrepresented universities, Reserve Officer Training Corps cadets. That means we'll only give you a scholarship if you are black or woke. Yeah. Meanwhile, the $86.5 million sum in 2023 went towards, quote, dedicated diversity and inclusion activities, going on to say the DOD is investing in a number of programs and initiatives. And then there's subcategories like, oh, I don't know, how about the NSA? You know, the National Security Agency, like the ones who head up intelligence gathering and all that. Yeah, they just recently came out with their 34-page DEI inclusion document, which includes critical race theory and transgender ideology with terms like white fragility, transmisogyny, settler colonialism, and even uses the pronouns Z and Zer, which were made up for the wokeness. Boomer, I could keep going on this one, but this story is starting to depress me. Would you please hit the jackassery button maybe twice on that one? Wow. Wow. You going to hit it again? Just keep it going, man.
It'll just keep going all the way on the out.
All right. We can take a break right now. We'll come right back. Last break of the day. Y'all, we played the camel today. We played Woke World today. We've done, what else did we do? Jackassery today. You played the whoops just because you could?
Yep.
I mean, pick one, Boomer. If you want to play a sound effect, we'll let you play it.
Keep going down the list.
Just like you're in an elevator hitting all the buttons. Bill Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Y'all, I'm just telling you, just making common sense like a superpower up in here. Well, this has been quite the day. And for those who didn't already hear it, this is also Boomer's last day. And we just gave him his gifts and loved on him. But
that's right.
Some of y'all sent in some great texts, made some phone calls, and we appreciate that. And anyway, thank you again, my brother.
Oh, absolutely.
I gotta say, I've got to end on, so one of the favorite woke world stories, you know, some of them stand out. We had monkeypox. It went viral. People were sending yes. You still got your stuffed monkey over there beside
stuffed
you.
Stuffed monkey.
Yeah.
I got it all.
But then the other one that I think, we had farting cows. That was a big one.
Yeah.
Farting cows was a huge, you know, cow diapers was a big woke world story that kind of got viral. But the other one that went crazy, and it was, remember this, in January of this year?
Yes.
You remember what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I can't even say the whole thing, but it was that Indian lady that...
Well, pretend she
well,
was,
Well,
she
yes. was pretend Indian yeah. lady that was LGBTQ, blah, 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 blah. It was ridiculous.
Well, just so you... Yeah, so her name is Kayla Clare.
Oh, yeah, Kayla.
Kayla Clare from Wisconsin. And she had been posing as a Native American, had made a name for herself, apparently, in woke communities. People loved her. She was always advocating for Native American rights, but she was also, like, way, 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 way off into the LGBTQ2IA plus yada, yada, yada agenda. But then she was outed because it was all fake. And she was... I gotta read some of this for you. So I had to find an update. Nothing's been heard about her since about March of this year. She faded away. But I did find this very liberal blog that talked about their great disappointment when she was outed.
Oh, man.
it is most... So first of all, it starts off, the guy is saying, my first encounter with Kayla Clare, who was formerly known as Nibi Waka Mikajiwi, that was her Indian name.
Oh.
Nibi Waka Mikajiwi... was when his band called the Hasbians had just played at Genderfest. Genderfest. There's a whole gathering Genderfest. Called Genderfest. And it sparked conversations in the queer community because it was playing at a band at a venue called the Winnebago, which had connections to local indigenous communities, and yada, 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 yada. It keeps on going from there. He rambles for a minute about trying not to offend anybody. But then he was talking about Kayla Clare. He says, I did not meet Kayla Clare in person until this past fall when they were a speaker. They, them.
They,
she's non-binary, so you have to use they, them.
They, them.
Oh, my gosh. When they were, I'm going to have a hard time reading this, but it's because it's so funny, I got to read it. I did not meet LeClaire in person until this past fall when they were a speaker at the Open Annual Dinner where they spoke on indigenous ways of being, their experiences growing up. Ready for yourself? You ready? Brace yourself.
I'm bracing.
And their experiences as a Native American artist, activist, and a co-founder, co-owner of the anti-capitalist, queer, indigenous-owned tattoo healing collective.
What?
It's a what? Is there a market for this? It was a Native American, anti-capitalist, queer, indigenous-owned tattoo healing collective.
Wait, how
and then it uses a word called Gigi. I don't know what a Gigi. Look up G-I-I-G-E. Tell me what that is. G-I-I-G-E. G-I-I-G-E. What's a Gigi? I don't even know. They now change the name to the Red Clover Tattoo Collective. Okay.
I mean, how do you fit all that on the business card? I mean, that's a problem.
Oh, so this person, I don't know who this person is. This person goes by the name of Jillip Nagler. Okay, Jillip says, I would never have expected or anticipated that by the end of the year, we would all learn that they had fabricated their indigenous two-spirit identity. They,
wow.
Brace yourself, I love this. Wow. They were a pretendian. A pretendian.
That might be my favorite part.
I've been waiting for the whole time. The headline was, the headline was the pretendian among us.
Pretendian.
They were a pretendian, a fraud, and they were going to be exposed before the end of 20.
Whoever wrote that, that was amazing.
That was
pretendian.
So Kayla Clare, the formerly known as the Native American artist, activist, and co-founder, co-owner of the anti-capitalist, queer, indigenous-owned, tattooed, healing collective, Gigi. Did you find Gigi, by the way?
Heal, to be or to act is what it says. I don't even understand it. So that's what the Google says.
God's name.
I know.
Okay. The Red Clover Tattoo Collective.
Yes.
Is now also known in and among her own former community as a Pretendian.
A Pretendian. Wow.
I don't even want you to hit that. That's not even jackassery. I mean, that's just
too
like
much.
That is levels of wokeness unlike I have ever seen. Just saying.
Perfect ending.
Oh my gosh, a perfect ending right there. All right. Well, listen, lots and lots of love to you, Boom Shakalaka, and you and the lovely McQueen. I know y'all are not gone. I know that you'll pop in occasionally. In fact, we're counting on it.
Absolutely. All right? And much love to the Ruffian family.
Ruffians love the Boom. All right, you guys. Y'all have an amazing night. We'll see you soon. Side.